If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Nahum. I would be willing to bet that you weren't ready to turn to the book of Nahum of all the books, but that's where we're at today. I want to share with you something that has been in the news for a couple weeks now. Over the 4th of July weekend, we experienced a national tragedy as torrential rainfall between 5 to 11 inches in just a few hours fell on the Guadalupe River in Texas, causing the river to rise as much as 26 to 29 feet in under an hour. Now, listen to that right there. The river rose in under an hour almost 30 feet, triggering one of the worst flash floods in Texas history. Not only that, it was very much of just a shocking thing to see. As of July the 5th and 6th, at over 100 fatalities, or over 100 fatalities, have been the result of this. This flood caused over 100 fatalities. And what makes this especially so burdensome is who the fatalities were. It was camps. There were several camps, many of them Christian camps, along the Guadalupe River, and dozens of children were swept away from it. Now, there will come a time to talk about alarms, there'll come a time to talk about evacuations and who is at fault, but at the end of the day, this was a tragedy for the families who have lost their children. It is a family for homes just like yourself. You send your child to camp and they don't come back. And this is something that is every parent's worst nightmare, but who could have imagined this? These are some of the images that have taken place or that were captured. Children and babies. I want us to turn in our Bible to the book of Nahum, chapter number 1, as we think about this tragedy in light of reality. The question is often asked, where is God when floods come? Where is God whenever heartache comes? Where is God whenever the bottom falls out and tragedy strikes? There are a lot of people, even some in this room, who have seen some unspeakable things, who have opened a door to discover something you never imagined you should ever see, who received phone calls that was the worst news you had ever expected to hear, who have found themselves in battle, who have felt belittled and broken. And one common denominator that so many have is, why did God allow this to take place? God, here is a Christian camp with little girls of all people who come from homes that are trying to do good, and a river washes them away and buries them even. Where were you, God? Why do you allow this to happen? Nahum chapter number 1, verse number 7 says this: "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. But with an overrunning flood he will make an utter end of the place thereof, and darkness shall pursue his enemies." I want to share this thought with you today. God is still good, even in the flood. Even whenever floodwaters arise in our life, God is still good. Now, for the people along the Guadalupe River, the flood was a physical, real-life flood that displaced their children, displaced their homes, destroyed their livelihoods. But this flood can also be metaphorical as well. Your flood today could be a marriage that has dissolved. Your flood today could be a cancerous situation that has messed up and upended your plans. Your flood could be a job loss that you did not see coming. Your flood could be somebody that you love dearly turning their back on you. Where is God whenever trouble and flood arises? Verse number 7 says this, "The Lord is good." I want to talk on this subject just for a moment. God's nature does not change with the weather. The Lord is good. It does not matter what the weather outside is like. We have on good authority that God is good. Now, it's easy for me to say God is good whenever it was other people's children who were washed away. But it gets entirely more difficult to say that God is good when it's your children who are washed away. And so I'm very much aware of the fact today that where I am at, I'm in a position where it's easy to say this. But make no mistake about it, regardless of what is going on in our life at this moment, God's nature does not change. Psalm 145 says, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." The Lord is good to all. Now, one thing that our culture seems to be obsessed with doing today is comparing trauma, comparing victimhood, comparing my troubles versus your troubles. Well, pray for me. I've got that old fibromyalgia. And then the other person says, "Yeah, I do too. But on top of my fibromyalgia, my elbow kind of does this thing whenever I do that." And then the other person say, "Yeah, mine too. But I'll tell you something else. I got a little spot right here behind my right." Right here. And then the next person will say, "All kind." You ever be around people like that? Where they'll tell all their things, and it's almost like there's, you know, I'm trying to outdo the other person with my woe. That is, I'm going to really step on toes right here, okay? That is, the older generation likes to contrast that. The younger generation likes to contrast the trauma I had at childhood. My father was this to me. And then the other person says, "Yeah, my father was too, but my mother was this as well." And then the next thing you know is we're all talking about our traumas and how we've all got our victimhoods. And then you throw in different letters and acronyms and QR718, PTSD, OCD, ACA, HAAD, HD. And then the next thing you know is we've got all kinds of problems. And I don't want anybody here to think that we're belittling any of these things. But we got to be careful that we don't allow ourselves to be consumed and allow our identity to become our trauma. We don't allow our identity to become our disorders. We don't allow our identity to become our health crisis. Or we don't allow our identity to become the things we have seen. Because it is really easy for us to pinpoint and pluck up something bad that has happened in our lives over the last 40 years, over the last 20 years, over the last 80 years, and allow that to be who we see ourselves are, who we see ourselves as being. But the truth is, no person in this room, no matter what you have been through, and there are people in this room who have sure been through a whole lot more than I've ever known. But one thing that we've all got to say is that the Lord is good to all. Now, I can't say that everybody has been good to me, and I can't say that I have been good to everybody. But I can say that there is one who has never done anything but good to me. I will let you down. The person beside you will let you down. Your enemies will try their very best to harm you. But the Lord God Almighty is good to everybody. He is good, as they would say in a rap song from the early 2000s, He's good to everybody. the God of heaven, He's good to you and He's good to me. He is somebody that is absolutely not in any way, shape, form, or fashion going to say, I'm going to be bad to you. So as we go into this thought here, and we think about the floods, and we think about tragedy, let us begin from this premise right here. There is a God in heaven who loves you, even though your world might be falling apart, and even though you're hurting, and even though you're asking, where is God? Know this, number one, He loves you, and He is good to you. Tragedy does not cancel out God's goodness. God being good is not contingent, we said this earlier, on the weather. God being good is not contingent on my bank account. God being good is not contingent upon my employment status. God being good is not contingent upon our health. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So as we look here, we know that everything works together for good. Now, the flood that we just seen on our televisions, the tragedy that came from that, there ain't a whole lot good about that. As a matter of fact, there's nothing good in that. But this is what makes God so special. Is that God can take situations where there is nothing good in that situation, and He can make good from it. That is what we've got to recognize. Where is God in this tragedy? God is still being God. So as we look at this, God is our refuge during the flood. During flood time, during flood seasons, God is our refuge. The Bible tells us the Lord is good. A stronghold in the day of trouble. So the very first part of this thought is that the Lord is good. It is in God's nature to be good. Everything that is happening for a reason. And I know those of you who are going through heartaches, those of you who are going through trials, that can feel like a broken record. Hearing somebody say, well, God's got a plan, that can almost feel trite. And it can almost get exhausting to hear somebody saying over and over again, well, just hang in there, God's got a plan. But hear me whenever I say this, God is good. And whatever you're going through, rest assured, there is a loving Father who is overseeing you, who is loving you, who is caring for you, and He will see to it that whatever dark situation you're in, God can still make good out of that. I think about my daughter, my youngest daughter, Marie. And I think about how she so often wants to do so many things, and sometimes she can't do those things. Sometimes we have to even cause her to experience seasons where she cries, experiences seasons where she doesn't get what she wants, even experience seasons of disappointment. And if she never received seasons like that, if she lived her whole life getting everything she wanted, having everything go the way she demanded it, what kind of person would she grow into? How effective would she be in life? The reality is an effective life is a life that has heard no from time to time. An effective and an efficient life is a life who has been disappointed from time to time. A life who has known heartache from time to time. You can't be an effective human having never heard the answer no. Jesus even Himself said that if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. There is a whole lot to unload in that one statement. If anybody's going to come after me, number one, you have got to deny yourself. Meaning you've got to be able to tell yourself no. Meaning that sometimes what I want is not what I'm going to get. I've got to deny myself. But on top of that, He says, take up your cross. meaning that there is a burden that I got to bear. It is not going to be cupcakes and lollipops all the way to heaven. There is a burden that I have been called to bear. Sometimes that burden is light and easy, and sometimes that burden is heavy. But no matter what burden I'm bearing, it makes no difference. The Lord is good. What you are going through today is a side note compared to the goodness of God. God is good even in the valley. David said it like this: yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, even though death is lurking, even though death's shadow has touched me, even though I'm in great pain and agony, the Lord is with me. And I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. The Lord is good. But as we look here, what do we do whenever we are in our flood? What do we do whenever we are in our heartache? God is our refuge during the flood. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. God is a stronghold in the day of trouble. What are we saying with this? Sometimes he shelters rather than stops storms. You know, if I had my way, I'd never experience a storm. If I had my way, it would be a beautiful 78 degree sunny day every single day, even in February. It would be lovely outside with a gentle breeze, and life would be nice. But all sunshine and no rain makes a desert. I flew to Arizona and got out of the airport and walked outside and was hit in the face with the sun. And people say it's a dry heat, but it's a hot heat. It's a hot, dry heat. I was in Arizona for 3 months and it didn't rain a single time. It was dry and dusty and miserable. And outside it was pretty though. The sun was shining and it was blue, clear skies. Oftentimes what we want could be the very thing that would kill us. I want nothing but sunshine. I sure don't want there to be thunderstorms today, because isn't that thing hanging off the back of the truck bigger than the truck? Did anybody pull in and see that? I parked it out of the way and nobody's looking like they know, so I just told on myself. There is a canoe hanging off the back of the truck out there that is bigger than the truck, and I'm going to use it here in a little bit. That's the real reason the sermon's going to go fast, okay? It's a holy day. Yes, it is. So, anyway, where are we going with that? I love sunny days. I don't want there to be any rainstorms. But the problem is, if I get sunny days every day, your garden's not going to grow and we're all going to starve to death. We've got to have rainy days in order to have some type of fruit that we bear. God, why? Why do you allow tragedy? Why do you allow a flood? I'll tell you why. Because it is his will that we bear much fruit. And if we live in a world that is void of any kind of rain, any kind of clouds, any kind of sorrow, there's no opportunity to bear fruit. I can't help a little old lady across the street if the little old lady can walk across the street just fine by herself. You can't volunteer to go and help someone in a nursing home if everybody in a nursing home is healthy and happy and sprightly. You can't serve people if people aren't broken in some way. That is the wildest, brightest, most brilliant thing that's ever come out of my mouth. You can't serve people if people aren't broken in some way. People have to be needy in order for you to help them. God has allowed us to live in a broken world so that in the midst of such brokenness, we can showcase His love. Thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. But look at the front. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. God doesn't say the waters aren't going to come, but He says, when you go through the waters, I'll be there. And through the rivers they shall not overflow you. Sometimes God will allow the storm to come just so He can shelter you. Sometimes God will allow you to be in great agony and pain just so He can be there for you to love on. There is a common practice with shepherds from the old school way of doing things that have a big flock of sheep. If you've got a sheep that keeps running away, what the shepherd would do, and this sounds so bad, the shepherd who has a flock of sheep and they keep running away, he'll go and he'll get the sheep that keeps running away and he'll pick it up and he would break its leg. And now you've got a sheep with a broken leg. And then the shepherd would put a splint on the leg that he broke of that sheep. And he would carry that sheep around as its leg is healing. Every day walking around with that sheep on his back. And he'd set the sheep down and let it eat. And when it was time to leave, he'd pick it back up and carry it wherever they're going next. And over the weeks that it would take for that sheep's leg to heal, that sheep would develop an affection for the shepherd. And that sheep would, from that moment forward, be closer to the shepherd than any other sheep. And it was the fact that that sheep had its leg broke that it developed that closeness with the Father or with the shepherd. If you're here today and you have had your leg broke, that's not me saying God snapped it. But what I am going to say is, if you're here today and you have had your leg broke metaphorically, or you've had great pain and agony in your life, could it be that God is saying, let's take this situation and make something out of it? Let's let your pain be the thing that brings you to me, gives you healing, and in the process of that makes us even closer. Sometimes He shelters rather than stop storms. Moving on here, when your world washes away, God stands firm. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. He says, think on that. God is not going anywhere. Everything in this world is going to disappear at one time or another. But God says, I am unmovable. And the last thing I have here is God knows who trusts Him through the flood. The Lord is good. That's our first point. God is good. How God is, His nature does not change based on my situation. The Lord is good, but what God is even beyond that. He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. In my trouble, God is somebody I can cling to. And the last thing I like right here is, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. This, I hope, will be taken in the right way. If this flood in Texas hit a Christian camp, and the ones whose lives were lost were predominantly Christian, in a large way, that is God's mercy. Because had this been a group of lost people, that number of people would have went off into eternity in hell. But if we truly do believe that book that might be open on your lap right now, we believe that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now again, let me say it is easy to say this in my perspective, and God knows that is a story I don't ever want to live. But the truth remains that He knows them that trust in Him. That Jesus said that there's one thing that will send you to hell, and that is not knowing Him. He says in Matthew 7, "Depart from me, I never knew you." But if He knows you, your eternity has been set. You are not forgotten in your flood. I've gone through seasons where the flood has opened up in my life and heartache has come, and it's easy to feel alone in the midst of this. But Jesus says, "Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God?" He says, these things are sold for a nickel apiece, just about, and God remembers them. Even the very hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than any sparrow, than many sparrows. God values you. He treasures you. And even if tragedy comes, even if the storms come, that might not be, in fact, I know it is not God trying to hurt you, but it is an opportunity for God to grow you. It is an opportunity for God to teach you, and it is an opportunity for God to make us even more effective. Life is a series of before and afters. And I remember for me, there have been some big before and afters that I've had to go through, that going up to that situation, I was a totally different person than the person that was on the flip side of that. I saw the world differently. I was more peaceful. I was more patient. I was more kind. I was more in tune with the world around me and living in the moment. I was somebody that was changed because of what I went through. What God is trying to do with every roadblock and obstacle in our life is to make us more like Him, to teach us some things. We are more valuable to Him than many sparrows. Faith does not remove pain, it roots us. I would love to tell you that if you live for God, God will take away all your troubles. If I were a televangelist, I would say that. There's an offering box right there. You put as much in it as you want. The more you put in it, the more peace you'll have. It's good. God knows. You put a lot in there, you get a lot of peace. Amen. It's wonderful. There's a number on the bottom of your screen, and you can call it today, honey. I like this one guy, the guy that has the big jet. He's got crazy eyes, and a reporter stopped him outside of his airplane. And he was like, "I needed a new one." And then he's like, "Honey, I'm sorry. There is a level of crazy that's involved in that. The only people crazier than him are the people that, "Here's my money." They're crazier than he is. You know, "I've got a cloth, and if you just wave this cloth on you, you're going to be healed." I wish it worked that way, because I'd have all kinds of cloths. I'd sell them $9.99. "Here's you a cloth." I'd be like Oprah giving away cars. The truth is, I don't have any power to fix your situation. The truth is, this church doesn't have a whole lot of power to take away the hurt that you might be going through. And the reality is, God even may stand back whenever you're hurting. And you're saying, "God, can you take this hurt from me?" And God's standing there with His arms folded. And it hurts when you think about, here's God, why are you letting me go through this? But as any parent knows, there are times you've got to hold back when you see your child struggling. You got your baby, and your baby is on the floor in the living room, and it's trying to turn. It's trying to turn, and you're over there saying, do it, and it's looking at you like, help me. And you're not. We've been teaching Marie to swim. We had her in my mother's pool, and Marie was, we would get her going. I'd have her laying on my hand here on her chest like this, and we'd get her going, and she'd start swimming. And then she'd stop swimming. And she'd be like, help me, help me. And I would just watch her. She's like, help, help, help. What she didn't realize is that she could stand in the water. But and then she was doing really great swimming until she realized she could stand. And then one time she was walking and she was doing this. I'm swimming, Daddy. And I was like, I don't think you are. You taught her. You failed her. Failed her in her first time. Our only teacher never failed her. Marie took swimming lessons at the college and failed. It's, so she's struggling. Pray for her. Where are we going with it? I'm trying to remember here. I remember. As a parent, there are times that you want to help your child when they're struggling. But you know, you got to hold off. This is something that they're going to have to endure. If you're here today and you've got some pain that you're experiencing, know this, know that it might be that God is watching and you've been begging God to remove this pain and God's sitting back saying, I can't. You've been begging God to remove this obstacle, this mountain, and He's back saying, I can't. You can do it. Turn. Come on. Come on. You can do it. Walk. Swim. Keep flapping your arms. Come on. Come on. You can do it. Sometimes God don't answer our prayers the way we want Him to. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Because he trusteth in thee. God says, I won't take away your pain, but I'll give you peace in your pain. And that's the message of the storm. God sometimes allows storms to happen because there's a greater, bigger picture. And those that are hurting the most are the ones that He's doing the biggest work in their life. Pray for those who are experiencing great tragedy. Pray for those whose lives will never be the same. Remember them, think of them, pray for them. But allow that to be a reminder to all of us that life is short. Life is unpredictable. Love those children, love that family, and recognize each day is a gift from Him. And let's get our minds back on Him. That's where peace comes from that passes all understanding. I want you to stand up with us if you would, please. The thought for today is, where is God in the midst of a flood? Where is God in the midst of tragedy? The answer is, He's right there with you. Just cause you can't see Him doesn't mean He's not there. Sometimes He's allowing us to learn and grow so that we can be even more.